The Flint water crisis began with government mismanagement. As a result, tens of thousands of people, thousands of children in Genesee County were exposed to lead. The overall impact is not yet known. Lead does not leave the body and can lead to a loss of cognitive function and developmental delays. Civil settlements have put a small price to the suffering of Flint residents, but justice, criminal justice, has lagged far behind. The Michigan Supreme Court ruled this week that the use of one-man grand juries violates the state constitution. The prosecution of former state health officials and Governor Rick Snyder, headed by the Michigan Attorney General's office, will essentially have to start over. Kayla Rubel has been covering the Flint water crisis for national outlets since 2014 and is still reporting on it now for the Detroit News. Good afternoon, Kayla.
Hi, Russ. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. So, can you give us a little background into how the prosecutions of former State Health Director Nick Lyon, former Governor Rick Snyder, and others have been going to this point? This isn't the first time charges have gone away.
Right. So this has been a pretty, long saga of when it comes to the criminal investigation. It started in early 2016 under Attorney General Bill Schuette and through Special Prosecutor Todd Flood. And they sort of carried out an initial investigation and started charging local and state environmental and public health officials, sometime around like the summer of 2016. And over the course of the next 3 years, charged more than a dozen officials with an array of felonies, misdemeanors, related to their alleged role in the Flint water crisis, and specifically with, in connection to people who had died from Legionnaires or, that was sort of what a lot of the charges were based around. And then, in 2019, when Dana Nessel came in, those cases were sort of still in progress. The case against Health Director Nick Lyon had just been bound over in Genesee County Court, and so was headed to trial. When Dana Nessel came in, she sort of shook things up, and she talked about that on the campaign trail. That was sort of something that she wanted to do. And in that process, she got rid of Todd Flood, and the case was sort of handed over to Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy and Solicitor General Fadwa Hamoud, and they took over the case. And in the summer of 2019, they dismissed all of the charges that Todd Flood had sort of issued under Attorney General Schuette and started over. They sort of said that it was necessary due to the evidence, the way the case, way the evidence was gathered, the way the cases were tried. But they sort of promised that there would be, that there would be new charges. It wasn't over. And we did see that, in January of 2021, they issued new charges to mostly the same, a lot of the same individuals. As the first investigation into with very similar charges, with the addition of Governor Snyder. He had not been charged by the previous investigation, but, was charged with a misdemeanor last year. So that's sort of where we get to today is, now we're about a year and a half after the charges against Governor Snyder. And then the second round of charges against people like Nick Lyon were made, and yet kind of unfortunately, another setback with the Supreme Court ruling.
In the initial decision to start over from scratch and now going with the use of one-man grand juries, is this a huge mistake by Attorney General Dana Nessel and Solicitor General Fadwa Hamoud in making this switch and now essentially having to start over?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think there's people that would say it was not a mistake. I think there's people that would say it was a mistake. I'm not super privy to the thinking inside the Attorney General's office. One interesting thing that I think often gets left out of the discussion is that during the first sort of the phase one or the first round of investigations, the Schuette era, when those cases went into trial or went to their preliminary hearing process, the preliminary hearing process took a very long time. Nick Lyon, I think, was in preliminaries for almost a year before his case was bound over. It was a lot of days in court. It was very expensive. I mean, you saw tens of millions of dollars were, sort of spent on defense attorneys during that time period. So I do think there probably was some thinking that with the one-man grand jury, it might be able to help avoid that really lengthy preliminary hearing process And so that, you know, I think that if that was sort of the thinking behind it, there'd probably be people that would have different, you know, probably differing opinions on whether that was smart or not. I'm not a legal expert, so I can't really say. But I think, you know, there's probably some interesting discussions to have around, you know, why they did what, you know, chose that route.
In your latest article for the news, you talked with Flint officials, residents, and activists. What's their reaction to this latest setback?
So I think, you know, Flint is a big city. There's a lot of diverse opinions. You know, everyone will have their own perspective. But I think, you know, from people I talked to yesterday, you know, there's anger. I would also say, I mean, I think there was a lot of, you know, a lot of people were kind of shocked. Not that they didn't necessarily know something like this could happen, but it sort of the decision kind of felt like it came unexpectedly. I wrote an article yesterday and I sort of described it as, you know, bewilderment and uncertainty. I think, you know, people were a lot more speechless than I'm used to encountering when I'm in Flint. And I think people kind of weren't necessarily feeling like they don't necessarily know what's next and what will happen. And so I think that if anything, it's created a lot of uncertainty and just sort of feeling like, okay, it's been 8 years since this crisis started. Are we ever going to see justice?
What does justice even look like for the people of Flint at this point? I mean, it's been so long since this entire process started. And will there ever be some sort of satisfaction that people were held accountable?
You know, I don't know. I can't say whether people in Flint will ever be satisfied with whatever, you know, justice and accountability sort of they end up with. And I think a lot of Flint residents would say that obviously you can't change what happened. Like the water crisis still happened no matter who gets held accountable. And I also think justice looks different to every single person in Flint. I think for some people, it's literally just having the lead pipe fixtures in your home replaced, which, you know, that wasn't done through the program where they were replacing the service lines. I think, you know, everyone has sort of different things that would make them feel whole. But pretty much across the board, most people do not feel like they've been made whole. But I do think just this sort of like baseline idea of someone being held accountable in some manner for the decisions that they made, I think that's something that Flint residents have, you know, they don't feel like they have not gotten, are unsure if they will get, and is something that's very important to them, I think, because so much of the water crisis, the decisions that were made were happening, you know, in state agencies at the state level or at the county level or state-appointed officials running the city. And so I think that feeling of a lot of this was decided by people outside of our city and we're the ones left with this effect that we want to see sort of officials being held accountable. I think some sort of criminal prosecution is probably I think that's one of the only ways that they will really feel satisfied in terms of that level of accountability. But I think there's an array of things that could be done to help make Flint residents whole from their perspective, and whether it is more money or things like that, that could really make a difference.
Kayla Rubel is a reporter for the Detroit News. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.